On this episode of the Reflex Blue Show, we bring in Steve Gordon and Brandon Erbel to give advice for the graduating design students out there. Welcome, everybody, to the Reflex Blue Show. I am your host, Donovan Deary. I have with me Steve Gordon.
What's up, people?
And Brandon Erbel.
How's it going?
What we're going to talk about today is, you know, I mean, it's getting to be spring.
Right.
You would never know it. It feels like spring today, but it's been, you know, cold here.
Right. It's been freezing here.
Omaha in February and March is not the paradise that you would assume it to be.
Or will be for a day.
Right.
It'll be good for the first half of the day.
And so with spring comes the traditional graduating class.
Running of the Little Bulls.
Running of the Bulls. And thus, a brand new market and job hunting.
And competition, you little bastards.
All right, and that's actually the first thing. So, when you mean competition, like, I think when, you know, when you're in class or when you're bidding work or anything like that, you're always thinking, like, how do I stack up next to, you know, the guy next to me?
Right, right.
The gal next to me.
Right.
And then you realize that, oh, I'm not actually competing against my class. I'm competing against, like, this thing called the world.
The industry. Right. The world at large is what you're going up against. And so...
You may be competing against someone who's 5 years out for the same job.
Absolutely. Because in that space, I'm glad you said that. In the five-year span after college, you're still a newbie. You're not even considered pro status yet. It's almost like a paid internship. So, when you graduate, the first thing you're doing is going after jobs that your classmates or young colleagues have gone after the year before you. They've got a year of experience, but they're not quite veterans. So, yeah, you're going up against, I'd say, that four-year block of college, or call it 5 years, 2 years before and after. You're going up against that sort of mini generation right there.
Or you're going up against, the Wonder Kid Brandon here.
Right, exactly.
Where you didn't even see him coming because he didn't really follow the traditional path into this industry. And he just appeared here and bam, he's got your job. And you're like, what? I got a bachelor's
super
degree.
Super talented mole man, underground, got right to work and learned his craft, you know, almost got grandfathered in like most go to school. He got to work and got an education through the industry. And bang, you're up against somebody who has real industry talent, real industry savvy, and has had the industry contacts and the jobs already.
And so, Brandon, like, when you got into the field, I mean, did you think that, oh, I got to compete against these college kids, these college graduates, or did you just say, like, oh, they don't know what they're doing, they've just been studying books?
Yeah, I mean, not at all. I don't know what I was thinking. I just started doing band t-shirts and websites for my friends for fun, and then just from there it kind of grew into actually learning UI and the design theory and just kind of learning all these things that people learn in school. I probably took a little longer to actually grasp that, but yeah, like you guys said, instead of, you know, studying and going to school for 4 years, I was actually already out there trying to get the client work and learning to network and learning how to talk to clients and schedule out my time and project manage and do all those things that I think you do have to have a job. I mean, you have to be in the real world to really kind of understand what that's like. When you're in school, it's a little bit more easier for everyone, and you don't understand that until you're actually in the job market.
Well, it does help because you have that nice little syllabus where it says, you know, these sketches are due at this date,
right.
Revisions are due by this time. And you know, and you also know that, you know, you're going to talk to your client, a.k.a. the teacher. You know, teacher's going to talk to you in class, so you'll get the feedback from the teacher on this date so you can schedule 2 days further. Where in the real world, that sometimes works.
Maybe.
Has that worked recently for either of you? Or has it been like we're supposed to get feedback?
Right. It's been more along the lines of we're supposed to get feedback. Yeah, in theory, everything works. But it doesn't always stack up that way. I think that's... College is this protected sort of vacuum where you learn the things in a sterile environment that you're supposed to know. And kudos to you for that. I was a four-year college graduate. I actually 5 years. When I transferred, I had 2 years of an architecture degree, or 2 years up on an architecture degree. And I finished out in 3 years with my fine art bachelor with an emphasis in visual communication. So that all looks really impressive. And then a guy like Brandon's been working and doing the same things I was doing without the fluff class, you know, the extra credits and all those things. So it's kind of six in one, half dozen in the other. But college provides a more clinical environment, whereas the real world, you get your hands dirty.
So what is it? What is it? I mean, there is a lot of advantage to the college environment. Sometimes you get to be more creative than your client will let you be, and stuff like that. What is it that you think that the college student needs to come out of with their college degree, other than the degree itself?
I would say, I say this in a lot of talks I have to students recently, that look at the word commencement. It has the word commence in it. It means to begin. First off, you have to understand that this is just the beginning. Your degree only certifies you to start the work world. With the understanding that there's others who have come out and done the same degree program as you, all over the country at that same time, admitting some of the similarities will offer you the chance to identify your differences and how you're special and how what you might bring to the job market, to the career path, to your specific skill set. I think when you're in college, you're being turned out to really think you know it all. I mean, that's just how it is. You get an A, you feel good, the teacher pats you on the back, great review in your senior show. Okay, so I know my stuff, right? Yeah, you know your shit. Good, congratulations. Oh, sweet, I just graduated. I know it all. And you don't. So you're ill-equipped to admit the one thing that you need, which is a little bit of humility and to keep that drive to learn. I think it sounds real hokey, but I think that's what it is. You have to maintain the level of curiosity and drive to learn and know your craft that you had before you got awarded your degree.
No, I fully understand that. Brandon, what is it? What is it, the one thing that, you know, you think you got that might have been better than actually getting a degree, like by being out there and stuff?
I think, like, actually getting my hands dirty and actually just starting to work with clients definitely helped me. But I think where students have that 4 years and they kind of maybe are able to find their style, I was kind of learning these things and finding my style along the way. So,
oh, so like where you can learn it in this classroom and you can like fail like miserably and it's okay. Okay that you got this project that's terrible because you tried something. Yeah, you do that for a client, you might lose the client.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, from starting to now, it's been about 10 years that I've been doing this, and I would say not until the last 5 or 6, especially when I had a job at an agency, is when it really clicked and I learned that, like, oh, project managing is important. Oh, invoicing is important. Accounting, things like that, things that, you know, I probably would have learned in school and things that, you know, I would have at least been somewhat aware of, where I kind of had to learn all that stuff on my own.
I will say to students, it's not a bad idea to kind of keep a rough track of how long you're spending on projects so that you kind of can budget these. So if you're doing a freelance job or if your boss says, hey, we're estimating something, how long will it take you to do this logo? If you're like,
right.
You know, it's not really helpful, but and there's going to be some variation here, but if you can start to figure out, like, oh, it's going to take X hours or Y number of days, if you kind of have a feeling of how long it takes you to do things, it really helps both your schedule and your bosses being able to schedule your time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing freelance work, whether or not you're going to make any money doing these projects that you're getting the work from.
And also, just from the standpoint of overkill, like, are you designing that project into the damn ground? Was it done 10 hours ago and you sat there doing fluff work because that's what you were used to in your safe clinical scholastic environment of, you know, 18 different rounds of design, when all it really took was 4 and you got back to and used number 1, wasted time.
Yeah, while you're sitting there, Vaughn in this last 10 minutes has already drawn 2 logos.
Absolutely. Yeah, and sold 3 of them. One was an extra.
All right, we're going to take a break now, see if we can whip about 8 logos in the break.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
things I remember the most when I went to school was our teachers always talking about being it was a four-year program instead of a two-year. And I know not all 2 years or 4 years think like this. But they always tried to push that we're not necessarily teaching you guys how to run Photoshop. We're trying to teach you the principles of design because those are going to stick through. And I guess it worked because when I went to school, believe it or not, I was running Quark.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running freehand.
Yeah, you see, you and I were in school around the same time.
Keep
going with that awful stuff.
Those aren't even around anymore.
Yeah, they don't even exist, well, but Quark, on floppy.
Quark, technically, I guess if you work for like a newspaper, they might use it.
Yeah, you have to load it up on your floppy disk.
Chip Kids still use it.
If you can find a 3.5.
Yeah. So, I mean, the company's still around, but it's obviously not the industry standard it was. And they didn't teach any web.
No.
And in 3/4 of what I've done since I've left school has been website design.
Yeah. I mean, even now as an identity and brand designer myself, I've specialized in the creation and development of brands. And that's one of the major hurdles that I've faced in a market that is very tech savvy, quick to go to market, full of startups. Everybody wants a website first. That's one of the major hurdles that I face is that most of the work is web work, even if it looks like print.
And the other thing I find about that for people out there is, like, if you're trying to get in this industry, there's a lot of people that are really good at print design. Like, really good. They've been doing it for 30 years.
Tons.
Yeah. And there is there's still a lot of print work out there.
Right.
But it's been, you know, steady or shrunk a little bit. It's not like it's gone down. I don't think it's gone down as much as people tell you.
No, the demise was greatly exaggerated.
But
I
mean, we're still putting things on paper, but it's not like it's been a growing industry.
Here's the trend that I find most intriguing, is that even web designers are now finding themselves lacking because they don't have print design principles, and that little thing called the tablet, and the iPad, and all of these other things that came out for mobile. Now look like print in your hand. It just happens to be paperless print. So even web designers are having a problem with the old stodgy conventions of how to design a website. It doesn't work like that anymore. It looks like paper. So you've got this chasm, this sort of valley between print designers, web designers, and everybody else is kind of funneling toward the middle, purposefully or accidentally, and it looks like good composition. Like, that's what it comes back to, is those principles.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to start out on this industry and you have no interest in doing any web, either front end coding, mm-hmm. anything at all, and you see this in a lot of students, they're like, nah, I want to do print.
Yeah,
it's a tough road.
You're not gonna make a living doing band posters and business cards, kids.
I mean, I don't want to say you can't make it. It just makes it more difficult for you.
I'll say you can't make it. Because the truth is, again, it comes down to those principles and that clinical environment where you've worked on the cool projects for 4 years and you don't want to get your hands dirty, like Brandon said, doing coding or even a print designer. You realize how much time you have to spend not just picking a typeface or a font, but actually working that. No hyphenation, hanging indents, you know, all the rules of typography are actually just as intricate as web design. But when you're only working in free title faces off the web, making posters, that's not really print design. That's so niche specific that you can't make a living doing that.
I'm just saying you need to make a chart that shows, like, the amount of jobs that only deal with print and the amount of people that are currently looking for those jobs.
Right.
And then the amount of jobs in design that involve some or all web.
Right.
And the amount of people looking for those jobs.
Yep.
And you'll see where the jobs are easier to get.
Absolutely.
If you do not have a lot of experience.
Absolutely.
Now, Brandon, you were talking about trends kind of on the break, too, while we were designing our 18 logos that we have sitting here, which at least 30 of them are sellable.
Already. 30 of the 18 are sellable.
Yeah.
Get that, kids? That's how we get down.
Yeah, I just think it's important to just always be aware of what's going on in the industry. I mean, whether it's web, it's print, it's a typeface, I mean, trends in fashion, I mean, it just kind of translates all around, like, just kind of making sure you know what the client might be asking for, what, you know, maybe trying to look ahead, what's going to be the next thing. But yeah, like, 5 years ago, the iPhone had just come out, like came out, mobile websites, responsive websites, none of those things were even
heard of. Nobody even knew what they were.
Nope. And now that's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
So I think just being aware of it, where for me, like, it's a mixture of 50% print and 50% UI, but knowing those two things and knowing how to, you know, just make things work mobile and just how to make
something responsive. Like, I love that he even said UI. He didn't even say web. That's what I'm talking about. Like, no one's even saying print or web anymore. The truth is, it's UI. It's the user interface design, because that's all the web has become, is a tool for composition. So even just the way he said it, that was unprompted, print or UI. And while most people are still arguing the old adage of print or web, it's so interesting that 10 years later, that's how a designer talks. It's not even print or web anymore.
Yeah, because, I mean, we spent actually a lot of time over the last few years working on the user interface for, you know, an application a software company's been making. And this whole application is actually delivered via the web browser.
Right.
Even though part of it may run on their server and you can't use it direct, you know, you can't just buy it because you have to buy the application and stuff. It's like, so we're designing it as we would design a website, but it's actually a software application.
Mm-hmm. That's funny because I just finished helping dev an iPhone app that took me out of my comfort zone. I'm not a traditional web designer, but I know how to design for the web, but I'm more comfortable when you call it UI. When you call it UI, it becomes composition and the user experience. I knocked it out like it was nothing because of just the verbiage of it. Like, web designers are now the ones who can program the back end, but a good designer with composition and knows those fundamentals can design the UI.
Now, this only works if you're still listening to this in, like, March or April of 2013, because by June, we're going to use...
Hot Tub Time Machine says that all of this is irrelevant.
Yeah. I love that movie.
That's a great movie. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Where can we get some of that drink that they use?
Oh, the Chernobyl?
Yes.
I think it's also important that you know when it's important. Like, not every site needs to be responsive. Not every site needs to look like an app.
Brandon blew your heads up. It's important to know when it's important.
That's exactly right.
Deal with that shit.
Now, Brandon, you've been working, I mean, for in kind of fashion, music, off and on, and you haven't done any, but that's almost like a lot of that design has been very, you said it took you a while to kind of find your style and your look, mm-hmm. and then you're working in a thing that is a constant evolving world of trending, mm-hmm. you know, and with that. So how do you take this look that you have where, like, I'm saying, oh, my quirk skills are gone, you know, because they're no longer needed.
Right.
But all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe that style you're doing is no longer sellable because, it, you know, it was a trend or something. How do you evolve from that?
I mean, I really think, you know, as easy, I feel, as it is for me, but checking design blogs or Dribbble or just reading, you know, design articles and seeing what is, or picking up your, you know, a new magazine or anything, just seeing what other people are doing, and you can kind of be a little bit ahead of the curve, or you can see when these trends are starting. I mean, Dribbble is a perfect example of that. I think some people can use it for the wrong reasons, but I use it as an inside look of, like, what's the next big thing. Like, right now, flat UI, which is something I loved anyways, is,
I was
like
going to say, that cracks me up that they're calling it flat UI, because Donovan and I, dinosaurs like us, call it just good design composition. Like, yeah. Stop putting drop shadows on everything.
Yeah, and stop making it, you know, like a shiny button, just
right.
One flat color. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just being aware of your surroundings and in the industry. Like, you know, you can have one specific style yourself and, you know, stay true to that, but for, you know, clients, unfortunately, you know, everyone's going to want something different. So just to make sure that you can kind of move around. And
I think that's a really interesting point, even the way you said flat design. Like, kids things, and I'm sorry to call you kids. I feel old. Flat design has come back around, whereas we never called it flat 10 years ago.
I mean, the clothes from the 90s.
Right. And so everything,
which is great, because I've never bought a new shirt in 20 years. So
that is awesome.
Perfect.
Collared shirts, 70s, baby. But yeah, things come back around. So don't get too super trendy, or, you know, or like Brandon said, stay up on what's good. But as you're developing your style, you start to graft it to what you do, and you do have a style. I recently was told I have a style, and it shocked the hell out of me. I'm like, really, I have a style? But you do. You adapt these trends and these things that are out there.
Steve, you're wearing nothing but your own clothes from shoe to foot.
I know, that's sad, isn't it?
Shoe to hat, whatever, yeah.
It's so sad. I know. I talk about not buying a shirt for the last few years. I just make them, damn it. But yeah, that's how it goes. You gotta adapt.
Now, Brandon, trends. Did you design the shirt you're wearing too?
I didn't actually.
Oh, okay.
But tell him. But he did print it.
But I did print it.
Okay. And I'm wearing a Steve Gordon shirt. That's so true. The style around here is all ridiculous.
It is.
Whatever.
It's so sad. So shameless self promotion, man. So bad. I learned it by watching you, Donovan.
And I learned it from watching you. All right, we'll be right back. Let's wrap this show up with kind of a day in the life of the rock star that is us or something, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I rolled in here around 10:30.
With your entourage?
Record this podcast, be drunk by 3, and,
hell yeah.
and then I'll just be, that's my day.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I just sip coffee and look fly all day. That's just the whole job, man.
Yeah, Steve.
And that's what the kids think.
Steve woke up the minute you leave here in the coffee shop for 4 hours of drinking.
I showed up late to this podcast on purpose.
Yeah.
I really did.
It's on Steve time.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is I'm glad you brought that up. The day in the life is not so glamorous. I was up late last night, and this is not to be a martyr of any kind, but you know, you're up late last night, you have to do the paperwork that matches with the design if you're working for yourself. So up late last night doing paperwork, organizing what my day is going to look like, got a phone call that kind of preempted everything. I then have to, right after this podcast, go pick up a money order to pay for a shipment that's coming to the boutique that Brandon and I run together, pushing my day back about an hour. All the while in the back of my head, knowing that I have to get on my computer and my sketch pad and do a couple of projects that I actually have to work on with Donovan. So, like, the whole day is really about scheduling. And seeing what, like, my talent has nothing to do with scheduling, but I have to schedule a time to actually get my work started.
Okay, so the two things I'm going to point out that have helped me a lot over the years is I've actually run a decent calendar.
Yes.
Or, you know, and it used to be the calendar of Post-it notes.
Right.
Which is fine because I at least knew what was going on every day. But now it's more electronic because you do need to make sure that you get things done on certain times.
Absolutely.
And you have appointments or follow-ups at certain dates.
Yeah. Even if you push things out a couple of days, put it, if it's Monday and you know you're not going to get to it until Thursday, put it on Thursday and mark it down for something you should do.
And the other thing is to organize your files.
Oh my God, organize your files.
File organization, if done correctly.
Here, I'll give one away.
Well, first off, it's really hard to learn any web coding if you can't organize files.
That's true.
Because the basis of web coding is all... Yeah, and so if you start to organize files and you learn, like, structures, it's really much quicker to build websites.
Yeah, here's something that'll blow your mind. Your computer system is built like a browser, hence the Windows. Learn how to organize your files.
And the other thing is, if you have a client that comes back to you, they always come back. Like,
they always come back.
We need to update this flyer.
Do you have that? Thing. Yep.
If you, like, can't find the last version of something that you did 5 years ago, it's going to hurt you.
Or you'll get to the fourth revision, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I actually kind of liked that first one, so let's go back to that. So, I mean, I've definitely learned the hard way, especially with web design, is they want something changed, I change it, and then I totally forgot to, like, just keep the first version.
Right. What I've done for actual file organization in folders is, I'll give you a nugget here, peeps, I organize the file by number backward. So, you know, after that big scare of the Y2K when most of these listeners weren't even born, I organize the files backward by date so that I can always find it immediately by year, month, day, dash, and then a 5-digit binary number so that they structure themselves automatically whenever placed together so I can always find the most recent or the latest. And it flows so easily to be able to go back and look at files when a client comes back and says, hey, do you remember that flyer we worked on 3 years ago? I'd like to update it. No problem. I have it.
Yeah, and our file structure is you open up the folder, and you've got a client folder. You open up their name. It starts with a four-digit code, and it's year and month.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's followed. I don't use a five-digit code. I just say what the project was.
Right.
So it says, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, client codes are important. Client codes are very important.
Yeah, and ours is just a client folder, and then year, month, project name. And then inside of that, you have the files, the different versions,
because
you always have, so you always name the same so the versions line up right.
Yep.
And then inside, you have, like, a builder's folder, which is, like, the files to, like, build out things if you need a bunch of things. And the source files, which is, like, all the crap that they sent you, like Word, which is normally Word docs and Excel docs.
And really bad JPEG logos.
Right, so that you can reference them when they ask you about it 4 years later.
Right. And you know what's funny is I learned all of that as quickly as everyone wants to go work for studios or be freelance. I learned my file structure in corporate America. And I know, you know, Donovan, you work
at corporate. That's where we refined ours.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so I think it's very important. I recently was a speaker at our Meet the Pros event here in the Midwest. And when someone asked who's planning to get an in-house job, no one raised their hands. Do not turn your noses up at in-house jobs. You can learn so much that will put you ahead of the industry while everyone else is trying to win awards and be creative.
Now, the problem is they pay better.
Yeah.
So it's hard to leave.
Yeah, it's very hard to leave.
The steady paycheck and the health insurance is definitely a perk to that freelance life that everyone wants.
No doubt. Yeah, don't be enamored by the freelance, independent, working at a studio life, kids. It is it's kind of a bait and switch.
Yeah. So, Brandon, what's your day like then?
Today, specifically?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the middle of moving, so a lot of packing. But as far as on top of that, I do still have to deliver a UI revision to a client, work on a couple logos. I got a phone call after this podcast to talk about some T-shirt designs, work at the shop. At four, busy day.
So yeah, and you guys actually bring your laptops and work a lot out of River City Social Club, which is right next door now.
Yeah, we absolutely do. It allows us to.
It's pretty much an office.
Yeah, we're able to create more hours in the day by doubling up what we do. Yeah, you deal with 24 hours. Brandon and I work with 48 in one day.
There you go.
Eight day work weeks.
That's where the coffee comes in.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, showing up a little late doesn't make you feel too bad. I'm 2 hours up on the day, man.
Brandon, Steve, thank you very much for being on the show. Any parting words? What's your big student tip that you want to throw out there for everyone, Brandon?
I think, you know, while you're in school, try to get some client work. Get a little bit of taste of the world you're about to get into, just so then when you do look for a job, it's not going to be completely new to you. You're a little more aware of what's out there.
Love it. Steve, you got one more tip?
Yeah, just like I said before, admit that you're going into a field with thousands of other people. Have a healthy dose of fear about that, because you'll identify how you're special if you first admit how you're the same as everybody else. And I think you'll be up on that. When we're all trying to be unique, we're all doing the same damn thing. So get over that.
Yeah, and I'm going to just say that this is actually not the easiest profession to get into or to stay into.
Stay into, good point.
Because if you're in the wrong spot, I mean, it burns people out and stuff.
It does. It does, absolutely.
But at the end of the day, if you want to be paid to be creative, there's not a lot of opportunities. And so at the end of it, if you're in the right spot, you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely.
And so don't give up on it, but it sometimes takes a while to get into it.
Find the right spot.
It's fun, but it's
work. Yeah, it's actually, I forget that job part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I look cool with all of my shiny Apple stuff, but damn.
Yeah, there's that. All right. Well, with that, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luters.